Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time. Time for Co's Low and Dips. Featuring Jim Cosimore.
So you just shut your yapper.
Lorenzo Neal.
Because it's hey diddle diddle, kittle down the middle.
And Dan Dibley.
Dan Dibley here. Squirt.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, if it's September the 17th, it must be the first day of the U.S. Open, huh? I have many things. I am not Jim Cosimore. Whitey in for Co's today and tomorrow. So happy to be back with my radio pals, one of whom is back on the Pro Football Hall of Fame ballot. Won't tell you which one yet. We'll save that. But Dan Dibley and Lorenzo Neal, great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me as always. Dibs, I know it's all about the NFL and the 49ers right now, but do you have any U.S. Open predictions for us to tee off the show, so to speak?
Of course, Whitey. And spoiler alert, I am not on the Pro Football Hall of Fame ballot. I hate to spoil your bit so early in the program, but less people are left hanging as to whether or not it's Lorenzo Neal or myself. I will go ahead and dispel that right away. My chalk pick is going to be Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele, ready to break through for his first major. Of course, you know, guys, the rough is thicker than they've ever seen it before. So we're going with the X-Man as our chalk play of the day. Our heartstrings are with Richie Werenski, the great Richie Werenski, who, of course, is caddied by my friend Spencer Seifert, the pride of Sacramento and Fairfield, good friend of the program. So we absolutely, we're always going to support Richie Werenski. And, of course, the pride of Cal, Max Homa, another one on our short list. Lo, you remember, you and I played with Max Homa at the
Hello,
old
friends.
TPC out there in the East Bay. You remember we played with Maxie that day. He's in the open, Lo.
Yeah, I love Maxie. Maxie was a great guy. I mean, we had a good time out there with him. He laughed, joked around with us. And, man, the guy's got that stick rolling. Maybe we should reach out to him and let him – we can just – maybe you could catch him since you know golf so well, Dibs. He's a good guy, though. Maxie is a good guy.
Yeah, and you can actually track his career arc, Whitey, back to the day that he played with Lo and I in the it was the Sally Mae at TPC Stonebrae over in the East Bay, over in the Hayward Hills. We played with Max. He didn't win that week on the Nationwide Tour, which is now the Corn Ferry Tour, as you well know. But he did go on to graduate to the PGA Tour, and he was a PGA Tour winner this year. And it all stems back to when Max Homa played with Lo and myself.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
Well, Lo Neal, one day you'll get to know him.
I guess that means you're the one who's back on the Pro Football Hall of Fame ballot, Lo Neal. Congratulations. Big night for you. You got your old team Cincinnati playing tonight. Tomorrow night, you got the team that I know you like to pretend you're a member of, the Lakers, opening the Western Conference Finals. So, man, what a
easy. Yeah, no doubt, guys. But I'll tell you what I got to do really quick here. I'm getting a little reverb, a little echo in my ear. I'm going to disconnect, let you guys talk. Try to get everything under control.
Okay. And like that, he's gone. A little nod to Demon Bruce, 2-6.
Was that me? Was it something I said there, Divs? Did he not appreciate the fact that I suggested you might be the one on the Hall of Fame ballot? Did I set him?
Yeah, that's a touchy spot for him, Whitey. I guess you haven't been a listener to the program, one of the billions here for the past 4 years, but you hit his only hot button there. No, in all seriousness, he's so humble about the Pro Football Hall of Fame thing, and he never will beat his own drum for the case that should be made. But this time of year, Whitey, I start my crusade, my campaign, because honestly, all love aside for Lo Neal and the fact that I've gotten to know him, it's a crime that there's not a true blocking fullback in the Hall of Fame. We've got punters. We've got kickers. Heck, they might even induct a holder this year, but we don't have a blocking fullback. That's downright criminal.
Yeah, well, when you consider how many people play football and how famous virtually everyone who plays football is, it's really unfair that they limit the number of people in the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, you look at the candidates, the guys that are on the ballot for the first time, and it's like Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. I mean, how do they keep anybody out, especially someone as unique as your friend, and I hopefully mine, I'm not sure anymore, but Lorenzo Neal.
Of course you're my friend, Whitey. But, no, it is, like Dibs was saying, I'm just honored to be on the list. You got to realize how many thousands of people that played the game and played it at a very, very high level. And just to be mentioned, to make the top 25, top 50, and to be on this list is very, very humbling. But I loved the game. I tried to play the game the best I could. I gave it everything that I had. And the biggest thing is being respected by your peers and linebackers, guys that you played against week in and week out, and they knew what you brought to the table. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to be able to be a part of this whole process. But I'm just excited just to be around the game like the same they're trying to do. And I just know the work and the effort that you have to put in, even when guys are hurt, it's still, hey, you got to still do your job.
Yeah. Whitey in for Coase today. So Whitey, Dibs, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game. And, of course, we're going to talk more about that, Lowe, and also talk about the Jets and the 49ers and Frank Gore. And I was noticing this yesterday. I'm sure you guys have touched on this, but Frank Gore and Emmitt Smith have played in 226 games, tied for 122nd all-time amongst games played, NFL. There's only one guy who was a running back who played more games in the history of the NFL. 239 games, tied for 72nd. A fullback by the name of Lorenzo Neal. So as we sit here trying to figure, at least I'm trying to figure out, how has Frank Gore done it? I mean, you would know because you did something very similar. Although I know you didn't carry as much as he did, but my goodness, 239 games, Lorenzo Neal, the most of anybody who was a running back or fullback in the history of the NFL.
I tell you, man, to be one of the guys that hasn't played in so many games in the National Football League, what number? I'm number 78, you said? What was it?
Tied
what was the number you said that I was?
I believe. Tied for 72nd all-time in games played.
Yeah, I tell you, it's honor. Just wow, that's a pretty amazing stat, because I'm telling you guys, when you play this game, you ask guys like a la Richard Sherman, guys that play at a high level, it's hard to stay healthy, man. It's hard to go out there and play week in and week out, play for 16 years, 15 years, whatever, any amount of time in the National Football League. Man, your body's not used to a crash, a car wreck. Do you know the kind of impact that your body's taking? You got other guys hitting you, and me at the fullback position, I'm 5 yards deep in the backfield. A linebacker's 5 yards deep on the other side. And those holes open up. He's going full speed at me. I'm going full speed at him. It's not like we're trying to dodge. You know, you're running. You're trying to make guys miss. This is just mano-a-mano. And it's like two rams hitting your neck, your back. You feel it. The shock throughout your body. It's painful. But, man, you get up and you do it again. The offensive linemen and defensive linemen, you know, Whitey, they're next to each other. They're 2 yards. They're right in front of each other. So it's brute power. It's brute power, strength on strength. It's not necessarily those physical, hard impact hits. It's just a wrestling match. You're trying to move guys' position, move them out of there. But when that fullback and running, I promise, it takes a toll on your body, those impacts.
No, it's unbelievable when you start to peel back the numbers, Whitey, because you mentioned 72nd all time. When you look at the actual list, you see 28 kickers or punters ahead of him and 3 long snappers. So that's 31 players we can go ahead and wipe off because they were true specialists. So now you've got Lowe darn near the top 40 all time in games played. And listen to these names and tell me if they have anything in common, guys who are ahead of him. Jerry Rice, by the way, 303 games. He's 8th. All time. But then you go to Brett Favre, Bruce Matthews, Darryl Green, Tom Brady, Jim Marshall, Trey Junkin. These are all guys in the Hall of Fame, aside from Trey Junkin, who was also a long snapper. Bruce Smith, Hall of Fame. Drew Brees, he's going. Tony Gonzalez, Hall of Fame. As you go down this list, Whitey, you see all the guys in his same class as far as games played. You get down to Irving Fryer, London Fletcher. These are players who maybe someday will make the Hall of Fame. And then you get down to old Lo Neal, and yet he doesn't get the same kind of love that these other players, just in raw games played, get on this list.
Yeah, first-year eligibles this year. And, of course, Lo is a holdover from last year. First-year eligibles this year, Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, Wes Welker, Roddy White, Heath Miller, Steven Jackson, DeBrickus Shaw Ferguson, Logan Mankins, Charles Tillman, Charles Woodson, Jared Allen, Justin Tuck, Kevin Williams, Gerard Mayo. So majority of those guys, right? I mean, right away you hear those names, you think, well, Hall of Fame, right? I mean, don't you? I do most of those guys, which just...
Well, four of them for sure, right?
Yeah.
You talked about Manning Manning and Charles Woodson, hello.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. There was a who else? Give me some more that just pops out. Who else pops out on that list, Dibs?
Calvin Johnson.
I know Peyton, though.
Right?
Yeah, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, because he got yeah, Calvin, he played, what, 7, 8 years? Because if you look at Terrell Davis, if he got in at 6 years, and what Calvin Johnson did, everyone thought he was going to break Jerry's record because of how dominant a receiver, and he played 6, 7 years. Without a doubt, he's a first ballot.
Yeah, and by the way, Lo, and I appreciate the fact that you played more games than only, what, 70-something guys in the history of the NFL, but as you're explaining football, you forget that I also played at a very high level, like quarterback for the Vallejo Vikings, Pop Warner, for a couple of years, and also played a little DB and linebacker and returned kicks, so, you know, let's not forget that. Although I was not on the ballot, Dibs. These football collisions that Lo describes, how similar are they to the verbal clashes that you've had with Lo Neal over the years?
Oh, they're just absolutely on par because, you know, while you see in football the collisions are more physical head-to-head, when Lo and I tangle verbally, it's also a head-to-head tussle. It's almost a text tussle, but we don't text each other. It's more of just a talk tussle. And sometimes the impact can be as harrowing as what one might find on a when you're going for the old boss. Back on strong safety, Lo.
Well,
Dibs, that was
Lo.
Nice. That was nice.
Thank you. I don't even know what to say about it. It's so incredible. So congratulations for being a nominee once again this year. And all the best. And coming up, hey, the 49ers actually got some good injury news yesterday. That's next. Whitey, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Coz, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
This segment is presented by Golden State Lumber, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. Whitey in for Coz today and tomorrow on 95.7 The Game. And yes, the big news this morning, Lorenzo Neal is back on the Pro Football Hall of Fame ballot, and he's getting Dibs just a ton of support on the text line here, 888-957-9570. Gutter Trash in PDX says the Hall of Fame slogan for the big grilled cheese this year, fullback to the future.
Nice. Dips. Spring ahead, fullback is kind of, I think, where he's going with that. And I like that, but it's really more about, I think, the slogan I came up with last year, which still needs to be implemented. It's break the seal with Lo Neal. Because somebody's got to get in.
That was awesome.
There's got to be a true blocking fullback in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The fact that you've got punters, and no one loves Ray Guy more than I do. Nobody. I campaigned for Ray Guy to be in the Hall of Fame for years and years. And finally, it came to pass. So with Lo Neal, right now the main goal is to get him from on the ballot to that next level. Let's just get him as a semifinalist this first time. And then maybe next year you get him as a finalist. And then, lo and behold, you keep chipping away. Next thing you know, the seal will be broken with the great Lorenz O'Neal.
From the 925, Steven Jackson better never go into the Hall of Fame before the big grilled cheese. That would be disrespectful. From the 408, DeBrickus Shaw Ferguson. Seriously, what has he done? Lo is in. Lock it up. The problem, though, obviously, it's a great problem to have if you're on the Hall of Fame ballot. But the issue isn't that Lo is just up against, if you will, for election, guys like Steven Jackson and DeBrickus Shaw Ferguson. He's also up against everybody else who was previously on the ballot from last year, like And I'm Donovan McNabb and Randall Cunningham and Sean Alexander and Herschel Walker. I'm not saying they have better cases. I'm just saying it's not just a matter of Loniel against those other first-year eligibles that we mentioned.
For me personally, guys, I just think that when they do the Hall of Fame, I wish it was different. I wish if you looked at it, I understand these guys. Every one of these guys are deserving. If they wouldn't, they wouldn't be on the list. But I'm just talking about how do you do it where it's like, okay, if you look at the running backs or if you look at those positions, I think it needs to be also a position. Like, that's what Dibbs's point, and I think a lot of people's point is, like, the position itself. You need someone, whether it's a Moose Johnson, whether it's, you know, whether it's a guy like, you know, Little Larry Sinners or Mike Allstott or, you know, guys that went out there, you know, that did what they, Sam Gash. So that's the point that's being missing, that needs to be someone that represents a position, like Dibbs alluded to. You got a punter that's in. So I get all these other guys are deserving. I get it. But I think that you got to, if it's true the NFL and truly the Hall of Fame, then let guys in every position in there. And I guarantee you, if you had Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher and you got Plummer, and if you had all these guys, and if you had linebackers vote, I guarantee you they would vote a fullback. That's the true test. You go out and you bring every linebacker in that played in certain eras with these fullbacks, they'll tell you who they believe should be in because they went against them.
Dibs, is blocking an important part of football? You know, seriously, fullbacks have kind of been phased.
Overrated.
That's my Steiny right there.
Put that Steiny. Let me hit. Can I? Where's my Steiny at? I love the overrated.
I just gave it to you. It's pitch perfect.
Yeah,
it's overrated.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was fullbacks good. To a degree being phased out of the game. That doesn't help your case, right?
Right.
From the 916. Congrats right. on the Hall of Fame yep. nomination, Lo. You definitely deserve it, but let's be clear. You're nominated for your football skill, not your sports takes. Love
you. That is sadly
wow.
a text of the
take. What? Who was it? What area code was that? What was it? Why do you have to
that was
that
from
one?
The, 916. What was that? The 415 and the 408
nine,
also chimed in. With the
916. Map. Really? Really? 916?
Get off
the
text
916.
Line?
I thought I was. 916. I'm hurt. That hurt the big fella. You hurt the big
well,
grilled cheese.
I looked at the text line.
Dibs, what's the etiquette here? It's like, hey, your takes are trash. Love you, though. I mean, what is that? I mean, either.
That's called a Roger Federer, Whitey. That's a backhanded compliment is what that is. They tried to serve out wide, and that's a Federer. Took it right up the line off the one hand, backhand side. It's a compliment, but it's backhanded.
Right.
Thank you.
925 Lo says, would be pretty cool to find an assisted yard stat for blockers. Guessing Loniel would top the list. That's where we'll be on track. In basketball now, you have screen assists. So Rudy Gobert, if he sets a screen for Donovan Mitchell and he makes a basket, screen assist, Rudy Gobert. So I can't believe that somewhere there isn't already such a statistic in this analytic-driven world of ours, Lo. So you're getting cheated. You've probably got stats that are out there that no one even knows are out there that really beef up your Hall of Fame case.
Yeah, you know what? It's enough about me. Let's get into these Niners, man. You know what? This is getting uncomfortable. We need to talk about, we got a big game this week that, you know, that with all the injuries and everything surrounding this team, trying to get back to the NFC Championship, trying to get back to the Super Bowl. Right now, guys, with all the things piling up, only in week one, I know it's early, but my goodness, you do need that Calvary to hurry up and get healthy and get there. If not, this thing can get out of hand real quick in a hurry because, you know, I know it's a football's different because every game means so much and it's only 16 of them. You don't get redos. It's not like basketball and baseball. This is it. Right,
no mulligans. No mulligans, yeah. Much as I respect your Niner breakdown, let's talk more about breaking the seal with Loniel. Let's keep the spotlight focused directly on you and your campaign.
You,
we have plenty of time to pick over gangrene tomorrow. And, oh, Sam Darnold, boy, can he be elusive within the pocket? All that gibberish.
He had mono,
didn't
he? You know, use some time on that.
I'll tell you what, Frank Gore's going to be motivated. I got to tell you. I had mono sophomore year. It was brutal.
Yeah, did you?
Was it?
Yeah.
I never had it. How bad is it? Is it bad?
Yeah, it just basically just drains you of all ability. Just trust me, I wasn't kissing anyone sophomore year.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
But please. It was
that's not how you got it.
Actually, sophomore year is when your boy broke through. Ooh. Broke through a little while.
Broke the seal. He started thinking.
I didn't quite
sophomore
break the
year,
seal.
That's what I kind of
was.
You didn't break the
seal. I got a little base hit to right center. Tried to stretch it for two and was promptly thrown out at second.
He gone.
Shout out sophomore year.
Yeah. Well, you got to understand something. I'm sure you do. But for us, you know, and I understand you're modest and it's like, oh, I don't want to talk about myself. But it makes us feel like we actually are bigger than I know this guy that's a Hall of Fame nominee. So you have to have some patience with us because it makes us feel like we've actually, I don't know, done something. You know,
right.
So we're just kind of. Yeah, right, Dibs? We're kind of basking in your glow. But I get it. I get it. You mentioned the 49ers. They got some good injury news yesterday. Brandon Ayuk and Ben Garland, the center, on track to return against the Jets, both full participants in Wednesday's practice after being limited throughout last week. So finally, some good injury news for the 49ers yesterday.
It's big.
That's not good. That's
especially
great.
As it pertains to Ayuk, Lo. What can a rookie expect coming in after not having played in almost a month because of the hamstring, no preseason games? What's a realistic look for Ayuk Sunday, assuming he is good to go, Lo?
Dibs, without a doubt, I'm targeting him five times at least. And here's the thing. You can do a little reverse because he's got speed. You can definitely do an end around. Bubble screen's always an easy pay. Just the bubble screen, pick your way through it. Throw him the fade route. A third and three, make sure you get him a quick slant, get to the sticks, something simple. I think that you target this guy because he's a game changer. He's that guy. You went out and you spent a lot of draft capital, first round pick. This guy, Whitey, can play. And, you know, we haven't seen him play at the national football level, but I'm telling you, look at his pedigree, what he did at Arizona State. Look how big he played in those games, but also look who was coaching him. Herm Edwards, great safety, playing the corner. Played for, you know, in the National Football League, been a coach in the NFL. He's going to have guys ready for the next level, especially skill positions. So I think this guy's going to come in, and I think he's going to be he's going to help this team this year, and he's going to help right away.
What's coming up on the game is brought to you by FastPass. Is Tommy's new coach already too mean for him? And what's up with Dibs and Low and their Giants bet? That is next. Whitey in for Co. So it's Whitey, Low, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Whitey, Low, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. So happy to be with Dan Dibley and Lorenzo Neal today. Yeah, we were just talking about the 49ers who actually got some good news on the injury front yesterday. Been a tough week for the 49ers with injuries, but Brandon Ayuk with a strained hamstring and center Ben Garland sprained ankle back to return again, or excuse me, they're on track to return against the Jets this week. I heard Lowe this week call this a must-win game, and we know that's not true, Dibs. Is this an easy win for the 49ers against the lowly Jets?
I don't think it's easy, and your predecessor in the main chair, Jim Cozumel, was calling it a layup. He was saying that they've got two layups, but this from a guy who also said that they would come out and start the season 9-0, which we know is not happening there. Lowe, you okay back there? Is that... You got a little hiss going on there. I'm not sure if you're in the snake pit again.
Yeah. No, I'm good. You hear a little hiss?
Oh, big time hiss.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just listening to you.
Nice. Like, incredible hiss factor. But that's better now. But, Whitey, it's not a must win. It should be a victory, but nothing's easy in the National Football League, especially when you're going there with still somewhat of a depleted roster, even though you're getting Brandon Ayuk back.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, especially you, Lo, about something that went down between Bruce Arians and Tom Brady before we get back to the 49ers. I know, Lo, you were being on with you guys this summer, very high on the Tampa Bay Bucs, Tom Brady, and you were saying, oh, they're going to the NFC Championship game, and, of course, they kind of laid an egg this weekend. But Bruce Arians was critical. After one game, he was critical of Tom Brady, prompting Brett Favre to come out and say, oh, boy, getting to Bruce Arians' comments, true or not, I think the last person you want to call out after the first game of the year is Tom Brady. Now, maybe they had a mutual truce going into the game, going into the season. Hey, I'm going to be hard on you. I want the guys to know we're going to treat you the same, even though technically I'm not. So are you okay with it? If they have that truce, great. If not, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. So that was Brett Favre. And then Bruce Arians comes out and says, Tom and I are fine. I really don't care what other people think. So it's just what he and I think. Now, you having played the game, as we know, we've established that you're a nominee for the Pro Football Hall of Fame once again. What do you make of this? Is this just Brett Favre just looking for something to say? Does it really just come down to what's between Bruce Arians and Tom Brady?
I remember days in San Diego. This guy by the name of LaDainian Thomas, an old 21, and you know he's a pretty special guy. And we didn't have such a good game. And I remember Marty comes over, talks to LT, says some stuff to him. It's before the meeting. LT said, he didn't say, Lord, let me tell you, watch this today. We get in the meeting, and Marty, LT, you pose MVP. What is MVP? If this is not winning, you pose to be a leader. This is not winning. Running the ball, pose to have an offensive line. You're averaging only 3 yards a carry. You know, just go be lit. And this is in the meeting room. This is in the team meeting room. And everyone's looking because he's going at LaDainian, coming off an MVP year. And Marty's just in his face, in his grill, calling him out. You know, you're talking about leading this team, talking about what we want to do to change this, the way people view us. All these things that he's just coming down LT's road. And people are just looking and like sliding further and further down in their seat because it's LaDainian. Sometimes head coaches do that. But they talk to those guys. Without a doubt, Bruce Arians has talked to Tommy and said, hey, look, I got to come at you. Just know that, Tommy. Hey, we want, because, and guess what that does to the rest of the troops? Because Tom Brady's that type of leader, he's going, yeah, I got to get better. And it's going to cause people in Tampa, it lights that fire under, you know what, their butt and say, let's go. So I've seen this. I've been on teams where coaches do that, call out the biggest and baddest guy. Hell, you act like Belichick didn't do that. And that's what Brett Favre knows, that Belichick would call Tommy out all the time. Those guys had a love-hate relationship. So it goes on, and you got to have that with your head coach because you want to make sure that you call out players that guys think that are untouchable.
And guys, you know, have to know that players, no matter what their superstar status is, are going to be treated the same way and treated with the same level of fairness or unfairness based on whatever the coach is deciding his approach is going to be. And Bruce Arians is a player's coach, Lo, so I can't imagine he's coming down Tom's road too much. I mean, we're not talking Bill Parcells and Tom Coughlin here, guys who are from old school ball busters. I mean, this is a guy. And you saw Bruce Arians from the draft. He's chilling out on his veranda with his funky hat on, sitting there just making draft picks like he's in his own backyard. So I can't imagine. And people are going to want to create this sort of a rift between Tom Brady and his new coach because why wouldn't you? You know, you lose the opener, and now it's got to be, oh, Arians, they hate each other. Give me a break. It's been one game.
Right. Hair's on fire. And the thing about it is, though, now, I can't speak for Tom Coughlin because I've talked to Michael Strahan and a lot of those guys and just talked about who he is and talk about, you know, that's, you know, what he represents. And he's a hell of a coach, but just tough. But I know one thing, Bill Parcells, people talk about the Big Tuna tough. Yeah, he's tough. But at the same sense, the Big Tuna is a good dude. So when you have a guy like that, you know, that's in your presence as a head coach and trying to demand from you, it doesn't upset you. Parcells, he had Lawrence Taylor. I was coached by him, you know, saw him work with Marvin, and guys were friggin' out there. He had a way with men. Bill Parcells, tough, strict, tough on guys, but he still had character, still knew how to work with these guys. So head coaches are going to do the things they know they need to do to get their teams going.
Especially early in the season, you know, you're sitting in the spot where it didn't go well in the opener and Tom Brady didn't look great. And you had a couple of picks, a couple of bad throws, and New Orleans got over on you. But Brady understands, and Bruce Arians, they've both been around long enough to know that those games, those tough games on the road, even with no fans in the Voodoo Dome, they'll probably even themselves out. And Tampa's got a ton of talent. So you have a feeling that Tampa's going to be all right.
And you know what, Dibs? It's timing, man. You think about, and you talked about it, and I should have been on it a little bit more. You talked about Yellow. You know, I think that they could be a good team. But you just kind of alluded to, do you remember you were saying, look, no OTAs, Tommy doesn't have those guys to work with, doesn't have a lot of looks, and I know they're getting it still through Zoom, but it's still different. It's still a difference than a Zoom, than going out there and doing it. And I think you saw that, you know, with Tommy throwing the ball to a spot that he thinks a guy's going to be at. And it's just about, that's just about timing. It's about getting guys on the same page. And that's going to take some time. So struggled. And you know what? His receivers are going to get this thing down. And I think Bruce Arians understand that, but he's got to continue to put pressure on Tommy because he is the leader. He is the guy that they brought in. And you're going to have to put pressure on him no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. And it's going to be a thing where Tom Brady puts pressure on himself. He knows that what is at stake.
Right.
And, you know, he went to Tampa Bay, obviously, with a purpose and for a reason. And it wasn't to just ramp up over a 2 or 3 year period and make this team decent and maybe compete for a Super Bowl. He went to Tampa or Tampa Bay, as many are calling it, at least for now, with one goal in mind, and that's to get another Lombardi, add another chip to his pile. So it's easy after one game to you know, show more patience and to not panic. But if they come out and lay a second egg and fall to 0-2, then some of this real panic talk, I think, will have more heft and more weight to it.
When you look at the NFC, the top teams in the NFC, and then you look at the two top teams in AFC, you think about like a Baltimore, you look at Kansas City. When you think of those two teams, and then you think of the two teams in the NFC, in your opinion, who are the two best? Let's take Tampa Bay out of the equation. But who would be the two best teams in the NFC today, in your opinion today, Dan? Not what we thought beginning of season, but today after 1 week of football.
The two best in the AFC?
Yeah.
I'd still roll with Baltimore and Kansas City.
Yeah, right. But what do you think, who's the two best in the NFC? After what you saw the week one, because I'm with you,
man.
I'm with you 100%.
I would go for. I would stick with Seattle and New Orleans. I think the fact that the way Seattle went about it, DK Metcalf looking better than many would have expected, I think, in his early part of his second year, and shoot, New Orleans to me is still a team that's a favorite in the NFC. It's a team that I picked to go very deep this year. And I think there was an impressive win over Tampa Bay, even though the Bucs gave them a couple. They still went out there and handled their business. So I would still roll with the Saints and the Seahawks, though.
But does it seem more imperative to you? Because the reason why I'm asking these questions, you're like, look, what are you going here? Because I think that the AFC, I think it's more clear-cut than the NFC. Do you agree? That far as
teams? I think so, definitely. But and again, it's just after 1 week, and I'm curious to know what Whitey would think as far as, you know, best in the AFC, best in the AFC right now as we look at our week one power rankings here on Kozlo and Dibs.
My Super Bowl picks, for what that's worth, I had New Orleans beating another one of Lowe's old teams, Tennessee. How good do you guys think Tennessee is? I love the fact, and I know they barely won Monday night.
Tennessee.
They barely survived.
Tennessee.
I love the fact that they're solid up front on both sides of the football, Dibs.
Very solid. And, you know, the ground game, that's the thing where as you get deeper into November, December, and you saw it last year with Tennessee, having a big-time back is going to help you, especially when you look at Ryan Tannehill and what that meant for him last year and his improvement. So I think Tennessee is a team that can be legit, can be good, but I don't know if they're going to have the weaponry to stack up with Kansas City or the defense to slow Baltimore and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm with you. You saw what they were able to do to Lamar Jackson last year, hit him and keep the ball away from Lamar Jackson, and Tennessee jumped on him in that game. Don't know if that's going to happen this year, because Baltimore looks like they're still picking up where they left off. Tennessee, I think that the quarterback has really made some strides. We talk about Tannehill and seeing the way that he's able to throw the ball now, getting the ball out of his hand a lot quicker. Seems like he's more poised in that offense this year. I think there is a very formidable threat. But the NFC, like you said, it's wide open. We don't know what, Arizona, how good are they really? Yeah, no, they beat a depleted San Francisco 49er team, but how good are they? You look at the Rams. The Rams beat a team that I think that may be the number one seed because Dallas, because I don't look at Philadelphia as a threat. I don't look at the Giants as a really true threat, a true threat. If you look at the Dallas Cowboys, I like that. I can appreciate that. So I think the NFC is a lot more there's more parity than the AFC has. AFC has those two or three top, but NFC I don't think there's a clear cut who's just head and shoulders above the rest of the talent.
Yeah, I don't think we know anything, though, do we? I mean, not to dodge the question completely, but things are not necessarily the way they look going into week two. I will say this, though. This is interesting. The NFL got some good news to start the season. All 32 starting quarterbacks made it out of week one unscathed. No quarterbacks were injured in week one. No quarterbacks were benched. So 2020 looks like it's going to be the first season since 2011. I don't know, Dibs, what were you doing in 2011? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was rolling the dice on a career switch that worked out in the short term and then it didn't. And then it worked out again and then it didn't. And then it worked out again and then now here you are again. And I know how this ends. So I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop here as it did in 2014, 2017, et cetera. Yeah, the other cleat on my neck. Something about seeing you, Kev, brings back all the warm and fuzzies.
Oh, seems like a lifetime ago. But anyway, this could be the first season since 2011 when all 32 quarterbacks who started week one also start week two. So that's great for the NFL, right? Because especially in this COVID era, you know that if some of the lesser players get sick, and let's hope they don't, but the NFL, next man up. But if quarterbacks start getting hurt or sick, then they got an issue. Far so good. It's only 1 week, but all the quarterbacks from week one are back. By the way, last year, the two starters that were replaced, Nick Foles replaced by Gardner Minshew, and Sam Darnold was sick, and he was replaced by Trevor Siemian.
There you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it.
So,
but I think that this year when you talk about the quarterbacks, I think that you see the first chair that might happen, believe it or not, it would be L.A. And here's the thing. I don't think it would be permanent, but there's a strong possibility this week the Chargers go with the rookie Dibs. Not for the whole game, but if Kansas City jumps on their throat and jumps on them early and at halftime it's already a motorboat and they're down 28-0, that's when you play your young guy to say, look, you'd still tell Tyrod, you're going to start, it's your team, but let's throw the young guy in there.
All right. Hold on, Dibs. It's time for the six-pack.
Grab a seat. It's time to have a six-pack with Coz, Lo, and Dibs. We answer the six pressing questions of the day.
It is 6:45, ladies and gentlemen, with the morning show with Mike, Whitey, Lo, and Dibs as we open the first of the six-pack. Now, Whitey, if the baseball season ended today, we could be seeing a Giants and Dodgers playoff series. How badly, as a Bay Area fan, do you want to see a series between these two rivals?
It would be tremendous. This season, to me, with the 60-game season, and I know you got eight teams in the playoffs now in the National League, so it's kind of weird. It's kind of watered down. But it's like March Madness. Sometimes in March Madness, you have a team that doesn't really belong. You know they're not the best team in the country. But if they're in the Sweet 16 and you win there or you have them in the pool, it's great fun. So the Giants, are they the best team in the National League? No. But if they get into the postseason, and it looks like they will, and they play the Dodgers, it's like a bonus. It would just be fun, and they would have nothing to lose. And it also would be something, the first positive thing on Gabe Kapler's resume as a manager. So I think it'd be all good.
It would be reminiscent of the 2018 March Madness where Virginia was beat by UMBC. Don't remember what their college was, but I know they were the Golden Retrievers. So that was a great name. As we open the second of the six-pack. Dibs, Mr. Cozumore just tweeted at us and is upset because his wife took the middle seat on the plane. I mean, is that take that he likes the middle seat? Is that just the worst take of all time, of all takes?
No, it's a terrible take, but it's not even on Mount Bad Takemore by Cozumore. Bad Cozumore Takemore, whichever, however you want to erect this mount. It's a pretty pathetic mount, quite frankly. And the fact that he thinks that the middle seat, and he does say the middle seat is the second best of the three, he puts the middle ahead of the window, which is categorically false. And something about the aisle, the responsibility of the aisle, especially if you have a small bladdered middle seater, or if you have a fidgety person on the window, the aisle can be overrated. You do get the bonus leg room if you want to get out in the aisle. But to me, it's about the window. It's about pressing up against that cold, cold window and going straight to sleep.
I'm that type of person who sits in the aisle and I'll put my foot out in the middle of the aisle. Just block everybody.
But you're not that tall, Steven.
That's not smart.
Nor do you need to stretch out that much from a midsection standpoint, if you know what I mean. Go ahead and tuck it in. Keep your feet in front of you. And focus on the flight.
As we move on to the third of the six-pack. Low, yeah, did you have your phone call with LeBron yesterday, and did you congratulate him on making his 16th All-NBA selection?
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome, making a 16, NBA All-Selection. I mean, you talk about me being mentioned in the Hall of Fame, but here's a guy 16-year than Man. What he's been able to do every year and play at that level. LeBron James, you look at this guy and what they're up against, Denver, a juggernaut who's been down 3-1, first time in the history of the NBA, finds a way. This is a game that no one's giving my Lakers a chance. No one's giving LeBron a chance.
My Lakers.
Because Denver's just can I finish, Dan?
No, I think the only thing better than you calling LeBron yesterday would have been for Barack Obama to have called LeBron.
Hello, LeBron.
Is that all he said?
Wow. I was hoping for a little bit more. That one's on me, Steven. I threw him a no-look pass, and turns out Lowe was sitting on the bench.
Skip.
Can you just please open another beer so we can live out of that?
As we open the fourth of the six-pack.
Too late, Barack.
Wow.
No thank you, Obama.
Whitey, I don't know if I'm allowed to
be quiet, Whitey.
Divulge this information, but I couldn't help but notice that on the Zoom, you are drinking a Pepsi at this moment.
Right.
Pepsi? Right.
That's not good.
What,
Whitey?
What is on Mount Sodamore for you, your top four sodas, if you had to put a list there?
Well, you got to go Pepsi, and then Diet Pepsi second. Third is...
Pepsi Zero.
What is it? Well, no.
Let him work.
Is it the Pellegrino? They have the Italian soda. I think it's Pellegrino. It's wonderful, just a crystal-like, fresh, effervescent. So that would be third. And then fourth, I go with... fourth on the soda. I guess you just have to go straight up Coca-Cola. I mean, you can't beat it. Classic. So I would go Pepsi, Man. Diet Pepsi, the Pellegrino, and then I would go Coca-Cola, baby.
Worst mount ever. The correct answer, nice guy Steven, is Diet Mountain Dew, Fresca, New Coke, and Tab.
Very nicely done.
Somebody's watching the calories, huh?
Yeah, I'll say.
Maybe we can have that sort of conversation a little later on as we move on to the fifth of six pack. Dibs, Liverpool, they just made a big signing of Bayern Munich midfielder Thiago Alcantara, £20 million. Do you like the move? How do you view this one?
I love the move because, as you've seen from Liverpool, and I know you've been watching them very astutely, Steven, great game against Leeds in the opener, a 4-3 win, but they do have some questions at the holding midfield position. Jordan Henderson coming back off of injury, so Alcantara, he'll wear number 6, which indicates they're going to have him in the middle of the park. You've already got Bobby Firmino, you've got Mo Salah, and the always dangerous Senegalese Sadio Mane up top. Some questions in the back, though, with VVD, Virgil van Dijk, looking a little shaky in the opener, but this player is supreme. Great run with Bayern Munich and a perfect fit for an already stacked Liverpool.
I mean, it looks like, they're Chelsea are the ones to beat, so Liverpool are clearly trying
Stop
to stack
it.
Up so they can try and compete with the strikers of Chelsea. As we move on to the sixth of the six-pack.
Timo Werner.
Low, tonight we got Bengals versus Browns. Is there any intrigue in watching this game tonight? I know we got Joe Burrow versus Baker Mayfield. The Browns are favored by 6 in this game. How do you view tonight's Thursday Night Football matchup?
Brutal. Let me start there. Brutal. I think this is going to be a very, very competitive game. Man, if Cincinnati wins, I wouldn't be surprised. I think this rookie quarterback wants to be great. I think he loves football better than Baker Mayfield. And I think that this game is going to be very competitive. Yeah, but I still, Browns probably win, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Bengals beat them, guys. Seriously.
That's a take.
Ugly game, though. It's going to
be
ugly.
Pretty bold
it's
right
be ugly.
There. Yeah. That's making my soda amount actually look halfway decent.
Yeah, I take it back.
Yeah, you
Whitey.
Should put that
soda
That
was a coin toss take. I think Cleveland will win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati won.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, well, give me the points, and I'll take Cleveland. If you give me the points, and I'll take Cincinnati. You want to give me
six?
You
take the Bengals in the six?
Yeah.
Are you gonna lock it up, or are we just going to throw words out here?
Lock it up.
Thank you. Lock it like you mean it, Stephen.
Stephen. Yeah, wake up, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you guys are on Cleveland. Cleveland should probably win by 14, 20. Yeah, go Cleveland. Go ahead. Jump over. Running backs, receivers, defense, everything they have. Get paid their defensive end. Jump on it. Jump on it. Jump on it. Jump.
I can't pick against the Bengals. I actually have a Bengal blanket that occasionally makes its way to our bed, our marital bed. Oh, on the text line here from the 650. Here, how about this, Mount Dibbs? Coca-Cola, Mexican. Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, and root beer. I feel
pretty strong.
Yeah, that's a very, very strong list right there.
I like it, but I think it lacks some of the effervescence of a lemon lime, like a Sprite, or as I injected Fresca into the conversation. Fresca, I think, doesn't get the run that it deserves. Fresca was just so delightful, so zesty. Tab was a reach, I admit it, but I just wanted to get Tab into the program.
Coming up next, why the word on the new 49er receiver is meh. That's next. Whitey and Fricose. It's Whitey, Low, and Dibs. 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.